What is up, everybody? It's your boy, Just Drink Artists, up in the building. And today I'm joined by Mr. David Wise. Davey, let the folks know what they got on tap today for today's show.
All right, this is a mouthful. Today we are talking divisionless football in the ACC. Good, bad. We like it. We don't. We are also talking Florida State and the ACC have decided to part ways. What's best for Florida State and where would you most want to go? Those are separate questions. And then third, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even remember what we were going to talk about, which is why Drake is going to tell you instead.
Most likely we'll be talking about the scholarship limits and also how that would deal with the transfers that we actually Florida State are currently in on actually heading the show. But folks, thank you guys so much for love and support and making Locked On Seminoles your first listen each and every single day. And with that being said, let's go on with the show.
You are Locked On Seminoles, your daily podcast on the Florida State Seminoles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome back to another edition of Locked On Seminoles. What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. It's your boy Drake here, and it's at the top of the hour. We're joined by Mr. David Wise. Davey, what's up, you beautiful sunken starfish?
Yeah, today's a good day. If you're listening to this, it's Thursday, not Thursday. It's Thursday, which, as you know, is one of my favorite days of the week. Huge Jersey Shore guy, continue to be, have always been, always will be. My kids will watch Jersey Shore and they will like it or there will be consequences.
I'm actually not surprised you're a big Jersey Shore guy because of the hairstyle you're currently rocking and the V-neck that you are wearing that is definitely not suitable for your age. But folks, I just at the top of the hour, thanks for making Locked On Seminoles your first listen each and every single day. And as always, folks, don't forget to hit the subscribe button up on YouTube, hit the like button at the bottom of this video, and ding the little bell so you know when notifications, when basically when new videos drop. And on podcast format, five stars, you know, podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you podcast from. But Dave, as you said before, we've been discussing, well, not we, but the ACC has been toying with the potential idea of divisionless football. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on that. Me and Max kind of touched on it a little bit, what it means for championship wise or how it would change the circumstances of, I guess, former champions. I kind of wanted to ask you because if we go to divisionless football or the pods, would you want to see the three permanent opponents each and every single year? And if so, which ones would you want to pick?
That is a question that, depending on the day you're asking me, depending on the year you're asking me, will probably change. I, for one, am all for divisionless football in the ACC, at least. Makes absolutely no sense that most years the Coastal is the weaker division. And it's usually not even been close. Like, it's just a matter of which Atlantic division team it's going to be and how badly they're going to beat their Coastal opponent in the ACC championship game. I don't expect that to change all that much going forward. And it just makes no sense to me that you don't see the best two teams playing every year for the conference title. And that you're arbitrarily forced to play, I don't know, like this, our side of the schedule, every team we play is tougher and their side of the schedule, it seems like all a bunch of cupcakes playing each other. For example, Miami, just a cupcake playing another cupcake, you know how that goes. Yeah, I'm all for putting the best of the ACC against the best of the ACC. I'd never, ever need to see Wake Forest in another ACC championship game. I mean, dear God.
I mean, yeah, but that was a good Wake Forest team, just to be fair. But yeah, I mean, you're right. With the Coastal, I don't think they've had a repeat champion since, what, the mid-2000s, possibly? Like, over time.
Virginia Tech?
Maybe Virginia Tech, but yeah, when your teams are Duke, who I think went 2011, 2012, the year that we beat them up like terribly, but then you have Duke, you have Virginia, who, while they do have Brennan Armstrong, that's typically not a perennial football powerhouse when it comes to, when you compare them to, you know, Clemson, what we have, NC State, ourselves too as well. And then Miami, that's kind of the main reason why we kind of poke fun of Miami is that they haven't been able to not only win the conference, but I think they've only won the Coastal once and they got blown out by Clemson actually in that championship game, which is where that's why I make fun of y'all, because y'all are not able, you guys are given an easier path and y'all have nothing honestly to show for it. So then Dave, which three teams, which three permanent, I guess, fixtures do you want on your schedule moving forward? Like, which ones would you pick and which ones would you just would prefer to be in the rotational five, if you will?
Well, so the easy answer is Miami, Clemson, and I don't know who else. Like, if you're going to do Miami and Clemson, and to be clear, I want to play Miami every year because I want to beat Miami every year. I'm not scared to play them. I'm never going to be. I never should be. They're just an embarrassing joke of a team. So, yeah, Miami's one of them. Clemson, I get aggravated playing Clemson because, like, we've, like, forced this narrative that they're a rival only by, like, happenstance because we've been good and they've been good. And, like, oh, like, South Carolina is kind of closer than other ACC teams to us. So it's like, maybe they are a rival. I don't know. Like, I like the idea of playing them and beating them every year. It's only been of late that Clemsoning went away and they became good. So I'm not scared to continue playing them. So I'd like to make them one of the other three, or the second of the three, but the third has to be a cupcake. Like, the problem with Florida State scheduling, you're going to see this particular decade when our athletic department decided to sign up the entire SEC West to play a game against every year, in addition to the Florida game, which makes it incredibly difficult. I still want to go to championship games. And while, yes, we should be good enough to beat any three ACC teams to get to the ACC championship, I still want to make the path with, especially with Clemson and Miami every year. You know, we're going to play Florida, put somebody in there that's, like, beatable, but, like, I enjoy playing, like, for example, Wake. Love playing Wake. You know why? Most years we're going to beat the hell out of them. Every, like, 6 years or so, they have this, like, weird thing where they, like, get, like, just good enough to beat us when we're, like, just not good enough to beat them.
I was about to say we haven't beat them in, like, 2-3 years.
Yeah. We don't talk about that so much, though. This is, we're in the lost second decade, take two. But every single year, I don't want to say Duke because, like, I would feel bad. Like, and I would also feel guilty saying I want to play Duke. Like, that doesn't, that feels like I'm just not interested in competition. So, yeah, give me, throw Wake in there. I'm just not NC State. I never want to go to go to Carter Finley again, ever. So, yeah, Wake, sure.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Carter Finley either. I've never been, but from the stories I hear from both you and Max, I'd rather just do anything else with my time.
Yep.
I agree with you with Miami. To me, UM FSU is probably the best, if not one of the best rivals in college football. Yep. And regardless of how bad each team is, it's always a really damn good game. And, like, as much as, you know, they're also up slightly on the up and up with, you know, Cristobal being hired there, Josh Gass, Kevin Steele, too. You see what Papa Ruiz apparently is doing down there with the NIL stuff. We'll see how much longer that will last. But overall, like, Miami is one. Clemson, I kind of agree with you. I think they're only a rival because we just happen to be at the same time, I guess, like 10 years ago, being the only two good teams in the ACC for a little bit. So it's like kind of like you make a rivalry out of nothing, but there's no, I mean, what's the history between the two programs besides just Jimbo and Dabo, and then now just Dabo being, you know, like the second coming of Nick Saban when it comes to when he leaves to go to Alabama,
right?
Like, so with Clemson and FSU, that to me just brings TV ratings, and yeah, we need the financial resources, we need the revenue, so I think you keep Clemson in there. And then the last one, I agree with you. We need to go with some sort of cupcake. I don't think it should be Wake because, like, they find these strange seasons to, you know, be really good at football. I'd rather not deal with that on a permanent basis. Duke, I kind of agree with you. I don't want to, as much as I want a cupcake, I don't want to have basically an easy W like that on my schedule. It would be nice for, you know, boosting your resume. But is it really, though, when you beat up on Duke, if we're being completely honest here? So yeah. I'm torn between either Georgia Tech because of the proximity with the school, because it's out Atlanta. You have a lost out Georgia Florida State fans, which would make the drive easier. I mean, Max lives married to Georgia. I mean, we'll go play over there. What place to stay? We dope. Or Virginia. Like, those two are the ones I would like to see a lot. I know we have the famous Jefferson Epps Trophy for a very, very long time. We have the sort of like pseudo like beef between each other for the early 90s. So Virginia would be another one for me. So I'll probably go Clemson, Miami, GT for the final spot, and Virginia solely not being there because of the proximity with a lot of South Georgia fans over there.
Yeah, I'm good with the logic. Seems like we're on the same page here. I just, Georgia Tech, like, have you ever been to a game there? Like, it just doesn't feel like a college football stadium. I don't know. Like, I'm sure they like it over there. I've been to a few games. It's all right. Not my favorite environment. Cool background with the city, but eh.
And we went to Virginia a few years ago in Taggart's last year, and that was a fun time. Like, that game was dope. The stadium was sick, and the city was just beautiful. Like, that was a great time, but I think Georgia Tech with the proxy, what is that? Why are you smiling at that?
Just, I want to roll down Snuggy Hill. I've heard about it at Wake. So take me to Snuggy Hill.
You want to go to Snuggy Hill, this freaking guy. oh my Lord, with Snuggy Hill. Even though Cam Lemon's the bro, kind of put that, you know, myth to bed, but it still is probably my favorite story of all time.
Yep.
But I do think that for Georgia Tech, that Atlanta, South Georgia proximity is probably the best bet for, like, probably having the most fans, like, show for your games. And if you want even better bets, head on over to our partners over at betonline.net. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, whether it's NBA playoffs, my Heat, or hopefully being able to close out against the 76ers tomorrow, NHL, please God, the Florida Panthers. I cannot listen to Max or Jordan talk about the Capitals, or some UFC odds with UFC 275 right around the corner. Head over to betonline.net. Use promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, and you get a 100. That's a 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using promo code Locked On. LOCKEDON. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so Dave.
Yeah.
This is basically our, what we call the segment? Decision time with Dave, or hypotheticals with Dave?
Dave's decisions.
Dave's decisions. We'll workshop that later, because that kind of sucks. But
it does suck.
Both folks, as you know, Dave and myself, we're both attorneys. Yep. And one of the big things we do all day is play around with hypotheticals when giving a set of facts.
Yep.
And one of the big things that we just heard is that the Big Ten and the ACC, I think, just accrued a new TV deal. That's basically going to give each conference around a stupid boatload of money. So, yep. Dave, why don't you pose the hypothetical to the folks right now?
Okay. So the hypothetical is as follows. If you're paying attention, right when I was describing what we would talk about, you're already in the mix. It is the ACC and Florida State have decided. This relationship is over. We are parting ways. Please God, let that happen. But that poses the question of, we're going to go to another conference. Which one's it going to be? Because there's two different ways to look at it. It's what's best for Florida State, and then there's which would you most like to see? What are your two answers to this?
I think that it probably would be best in Florida State's interest if we went to somewhere probably like the Big 12. And I think the Big 12 primarily... One, I know they're renegotiating their new TV deal. I'm pretty sure that I think CBS might be looking to grab that after ESPN now, I think, has the sole rights for the SEC network and also all SEC games. But also, I think that's the Pac-12 to me is too far when it comes to games like with UCLA, USC, Oregon. Like, that's a lot of West Coast times, and I can barely stay up for a 9:40 baseball game. Like, I can't be doing that every Saturday. I mean, no. So to me, the Big 12 overall, and also has like with games like Oklahoma State, we have UCF too joining there, so we'll be another Florida school actually in there, and then SMU, I think, as well, Cincinnati. Like, the Big 12 low-key might be surpassing probably the Pac-12 and actually really, really damn good teams, and maybe the ACC, even though they do lose Texas and Oklahoma. So I think for FSU, they should go to the Big 12. Me, personally, I want to the Big 10, and the Big 10 primarily is for financial reasons, because one, the Big Ten primarily is a very strong academic conference, which we already have with ACC, but they also put all their resources and momentum and everything they need for support for athletics. And that's something that we see with ACC only does that with basketball primarily. Whereas the Big Ten does it for baseball. They do it for football. They do it for basketball. They do it for everything under the sun. And that's something that we also should be striving for overall. And also that TV revenue money, man, like, they're about to make more money in their first year of the deal than we will in the last year of our current deal in 2029. So give me that $100 million revenue sharing. And quite honestly, that might force administration and also boosters to kind of, it's an easier sell to people with money that you have to compete with people when your competition is Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Then who am I competing with? Wake? Who am I competing with? Duke?
Right. Yeah. So when I posed this question, I think that I thought, for me and a lot of folks listening, that the obvious answer is probably the SEC, right? Like, we're in the Southeast. It is year in and year out the most consistently difficult and championship having conference. Their TV money is stupid. It seems obvious to me that, like, looking forward long term, if there's going to be a super conference alignment where, like, a conference or two go away, it's more likely to be the Pac-12 and the ACC, I think, than the SEC, which I think is zero risk of going anywhere. Which one would I like to see if you're talking about like the games that I'd get to watch? It's the SEC. Every week would be an important game, a competitive game, assuming we're good. And a lot of eyes are going to be on that TV screen watching us, which means our cash flow is going to be right where we need it to, I think, become not just stay, but become competitive financially with a lot of these SEC schools. I have my, which one do I want to see? Oh.
Dave, please don't tell me you're going to make me stay up till 9:40 for Pac-12 After Dark.
I am. And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. I hate the Pac-12. Anybody that's listened to me talk about this knows this. I just, it's not real football. Everybody knows that real football is not played on the West Coast. Like USC in like the mid to late 2000s was playing real football, but like they weren't operating their program like a Pac-12 or West Coast program was. The entire Pac-12 since that time, since the USC dynasty of Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush ended, has been just a complete joke. No one's mattered. It's not good. I don't think they're ever going to matter again, that whole conference. Oregon, like, that was adorable that you beat us in 2014. How'd that work out after that? Congratulations. And look, I just want the opportunity to go there and on national, well, not national because none of those games make national TV, but like regional TV and reruns, show people exactly why this is what we've been talking about. This is the joke that is West Coast football. This is what happens when you play big boy football. And I got to assume we'd win the conference every single year, even when we're not good, which in most years will give us a shot at the college football playoff. That sounds nice, right?
I mean, it does, but like, it's one that travel's going to suck. Like,
go to California. Come on.
Not for us. Like, we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a good time soaking up rays. Hell, we might go there a few days early, go to San Diego, get some tacos, you know, mm-hmm. go straight to the beach.
Now you're getting, yep.
But like, there's always the thing where the players aren't going to be used to the time difference. And when you're the only team on the East Coast and you're the only one that has to deal with the time difference, that's going to put us at like, at even more of a disadvantage, and we already have enough disadvantages as it is of this team. So yeah, it's like,
lie to my face and tell me these kids are going to sleep at 11 p.m. on our team. Hell no. They're up till 3 a.m. playing PlayStation and shit, and they're going to be up for these. They're up way past the time these football games are ending. Anyways, I don't think that's any different. No one in this, on this, everybody on this team will get to sleep in because they know they're going to have to be playing later. I think they're going to enjoy that. They'll enjoy the free travel. And they'll enjoy just beating the hell out of these fake football teams over on the West Coast. That's nice.
These fake football teams on the West Coast. Now you can know that Dave officially has a beef with anything West Coast related. Like, where does your hatred like start? Is it like the middle of Texas to the west? Is it before Texas? Like, where does it start for you?
No, I think it's like west of Texas. Like, I think like once you get to like that Utah area, it's just everything west and north of there. Just forget about it. We don't need two Dakotas. Like, we can't have this conversation right now.
No, we can't. But folks, when we have that, we'll have it on our new podcast, which is going to be geography based, to basically saying that, where are you with Dave and Drake, right? That'll be our new geography lesson history podcast. Geography lessons in, you know, imaginary lines in the sand drawn by Mr. David Wise over there. When NCAA also, besides their NIL talk that, you know, as Max and I discussed earlier this week, has also dropped the potential idea of eliminating the scholarship count. Now, originally, from what we were all hearing, was that they were going to increase this incoming limit from 25 to 32. So, typically, folks, for football teams, you have 85 slots allowed, permitted. And, Dave, I want to get you first crack at this question. What do you make of that change, and how do you think that will change the landscape, not only our team, but how do you think that it might benefit some teams, you know, across the college football landscape? Like, what do you make of going from 85 to basically have a free-for-all?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a response to like COVID screwing up all like the kids showing up on campuses they never actually visited and transferring all over the place. The problem, you know, that I'm not a huge fan of how transferring has proliferated, and that there's no such thing as like loyalty. And I know like coaches don't have to be loyal. Why to the players? But I just liked when kids played their 4 years at a school and not everybody was leaving every year. They didn't like something.
back in my day. I'm sorry.
No, look, I don't know if it's good or bad for us. What do I like it? I'm indifferent. Is it good or bad for us? I don't know. Like, and what you're going to see is they're going to get some of probably the four stars that they had to say no to that we might have gotten. And those kids will end up transferring 2 years later when they realize, holy crap, I'm a walk-on here, basically. So it just makes me think the rich are going to get richer. And it'll take some of the kids that these non-top echelon right now schools, not that Florida State's not a top echelon, but like right now we're not. It just makes me think some of those kids that we're being realistic for and not just having the coaching staff shoot for all the five stars, which, you know, I hope they land one, but I hope they have backup plans. Those backup plans are the kids that I worry about us being able to get. And I worry that taking those caps off is going to make those kids just go to the same schools that are already better than us.
I'm about to say, like, I think that's a legitimate concern. I kind of think that if a kid sees that, like, every single four-star under the sun is going to one school, now obviously that's hyperbolic, but when they see, like, three to four kids in the same class, in the same position going to a school, they might be like, you know, man, I might not play here. I might need to actually go somewhere else. So that, you know, that, so now I guess the policing will probably go to the kids being a little more self-aware of what they want to do. But I do think it is concerning when it comes to schools like us, where we're just like, we're your plan B, but we don't know if you actually will ever need your plan B. You know what I'm saying? But I do think it helps us out, especially a team like ours, where we went through a coaching change in 2019 with the early signing period, like being in infancy and also dealing with COVID. And we had an immense roster turnover, which was needed, that we can actually not be as picky with scholarship allocation. Because right now we have, I think, five spots to meet 85. And we probably said no to a few offensive linemen that banking on, you know, Amarius Smith actually come down here and be the offensive tackle that we needed. So now it's like, oh, we don't need to be, you know, not even be super selective. We don't need to be as picky as before, especially at a position of need like offensive tackle. Instead of, you know, balancing, do we need two tackles, two linebackers, a wide receiver, one tackle, one QB, three wide receivers. Now it can be like, let's take two of each. I think it benefits teams like ours where our roster has so many holes in it that maybe just maybe going through the transfer portal, I'd be like, hey, just give us a shot real quick.
Also, when Mike Norvell came in, you saw a lot of roster churn. You saw a lot of kids enter the transfer portal. And if you've been paying attention, not a lot of them have been picked up by Power Five programs. So you saw a lot of criticism that, wow, a lot of our roster since the Willie Taggart era started is not Power Five quality. Well, I think we'll probably take some of the kids that, just like I said, Alabama, you know, the kids they said no to that were difficult no's will go there. Well, the kids that we said difficult no's to will come here. Like maybe a kid that would have gone to like Western Michigan or, you know, like Colorado State or something like that, like a non-Power Five school, a G5 school. And that kind of, to me, like perpetuates the problem. Like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of if you keep taking kids that aren't quote P5 quality, then you're going to end up in the same problem where those kids are going to get churned and we're having to replace them. So like, yes, in theory, the ability to have that extra depth helps, but just what are we filling it with? Because if it's warm bodies, I don't think that's actually helpful, especially since that's drawing on limited resources.
So, I mean, that's a very, very good point. Cause the roster management under Tiger was nothing short of abysmal. If we're being completely honest here, I mean, he did a lot of things wrong while he was here, but let's say it's also like, it's, because I do get what you're saying, but there's also, I think, a point where you see a lot of like random group of five kids. Like we saw Sauce Gardner go in the top five. Like why is a kid like of the town of Sauce Gardner going to Cincinnati? And like they weren't even Cincinnati when he committed there.
Why did Ed Oliver go to Houston? I mean, that's just weird.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, yeah. I mean, like Ed Oliver going to Houston is another example. Like Khalil Mack going to Buffalo. Like, and that's something like I talked to a friend of mine who played high school with him. I was like, well, I don't know why the hell he didn't go to like anywhere else. So to me, overall, it's like it's, I think it's helpful, but it's also like it does give the powers that be like a Alabama, like a UGA, or even like schools like Ohio State, schools that are have the financial backing and the financial firepower, it only makes them better. But I think it does help us like basically because as of right now, we're still trying to basically pick and choose which offensive lineman we want. And now with this, like, hey, Dimitri Emmanuel, the Charlotte offensive tackle that we've been discussing with that played under Atkins, come right aboard. The Turrington came from South Carolina. He might not be the best player, but we definitely need depth along the offensive line. Jonah Moore over from Oregon. So overall, like I get what you're saying, but to me, it's like, it's, I don't know what's going to happen, I think is a better way to put it, but I do think that there's enough pros and enough cons for me to entertain the idea, but we'll see what happens because the transport portal has done a number on rosters over across the country.
Yeah, you know, the last thing I'm going to say is we've had some like weird stroke of luck with preferred walk-ons lately. Like, and from all accounts that I've seen, like Dante Anderson,
That kid's good. That kid is.
I know he's good. Like,
he was a 4-star and 2-for-7.
He was a 4-star who was a PWO, which is just ridiculous to me. But like, what happens to a kid like that? Because if say Clemson were to offer that kid, a scholarship, I mean, he's going to go there over a preferred walk-on here. So that totally eliminates in my mind that whole PWO game, it, to a large degree at least, and we've had luck with that. So yeah, I don't know how that affects things, but like, do we get a Dante Anderson in that scenario, or does somebody else throw him a scholarship offer?
I mean, that's true, but also like you were saying before, schools like ourselves, like you still, and there are also schools you still want to be, you still have to want to make the financial commitment to the kid for his education.
This is how this happened in the first place with Ole Miss, is the reason the scholarship cap was put in the first place. Joey Freshwater is about to bring it back, baby.
And he's going to do it at Florida State in 2025. Yes. But folks, thank you guys so much for love and support and making Locked On Seminoles your first listen each and every single day. And joining us, we love having you here. Max loves having you here. Holly, Stacy, they love having you all here. And hopefully you enjoyed everything. On Friday, tomorrow, we are dropping a very, very special interview that we did. I am wrapping up the editing as we speak, and by that I mean I'll be finishing it up tomorrow sometime during the day. But folks, as always, please, if you can, don't forget 5-star reviews, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or where you get your podcast from. And Dave, what should they do on the YouTube?
Oh, Christ. Yeah, so you're going to want to subscribe because it'll drop the episodes. You'll get to the top of your queue. You'll get to listen to us right when we drop our episodes. Then you're going to want to hit the thumbs up button if you liked our content. Leave us a comment down below and we will talk about it, especially in our Mailbag Mondays. If you don't feel like writing a lot, that's fine. I know it takes time, but leave us a like if you liked it.
And ding the little bell so you know The moment the videos drop. Dave, you're getting much better than that. But folks, for Drake, that was David. And we'll see y'all next time on Locked On Seminoles. Take care, everybody. Lane Train 2025.
Joey Fresh, let's get it.